Good evening, everyone. As Rick said earlier in the service, it is so nice to see so many familiar faces and so many new faces and returning faces this evening. If Christmas Eve is not a time of welcome, then I don't know when there is a more welcoming time. And I want to really honor that moment here tonight in the spirit, the quiet but joyful spirit of Christmas Eve. Welcome. Welcome to this place. For many of you who don't know me, you don't know that I was adopted when I was born. My mother was 15 years old when she got pregnant, 16 by the time she was ready to deliver. She was a young woman in Kentucky in the late 60s. She and my biological father thought about getting married, but it was illegal for someone that young to get married in Kentucky and Tennessee. And my mom said, I knew people were getting away with it somehow, but I couldn't figure out how. She knew that at the time abortion was illegal, but her mother said she knew somebody. My mother obviously made a different choice. She decided to see it through. This fortitude, this ethical nature of hers was what caused the principal of her high school to try to get her kicked out, so that she wouldn't corrupt the morality of the rest of the school. He really launched a vendetta against her, tried to trap her, wanted to deliver the message that because she was pregnant, her education had to be forfeited. All of this comes to me tonight because it is a night where we think, among other things, about Mary. And as we've heard the Christmas story unravel or reveal itself to us over the last few weeks here, as we've thought about it in our hearts, as we've read it tonight, we hear those words that sometimes don't grab us, I don't think. That Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. We hear it twice in Luke's gospel. We hear it in the story that we heard tonight, that my beautiful Jewish atheist therapist, aren't they all Jewish atheists? My beautiful Jewish atheist therapist taught me the word, and I have to look at it here, so I do her proud. Is it tziris, which is a carrot dish that takes a lot of preparation? And so the Yiddish word tziris means like a big doings, a big commotion. So after the tziris of the birth night in the manger, after angels have appeared to shepherds in the field, and the shepherds have come to the manger, and Mary has given birth in the manger, all of this craziness has happened, and yet Mary is still. She gathers these words, she treasures them, and she ponders them in her heart. There's such a strength in there. And as my mother and I have developed a relationship, I found her when I was 22 years old. As we've developed a relationship over the last 20 plus years, I have seen that strength in her. I have seen what it took for her to be the one to make those decisions, even at 15 and 16. And so I called her the other night and I said, I'm talking about Mary on Christmas Eve. Can I ask you a few questions about what it was like when you discovered you were pregnant at 15? She said, I would be happy to tell you about those things. And I just kind of quizzed her. I kind of Oprah'd her. And she said there was just an awareness that came over her that she was pregnant. She said, the body knows. I said, can you say any more about the awareness? And she kind of paused and she said it was a significant knowing. I really loved that phrase. My mother, who would claim not to be very articulate, described that time for her as a significant knowing. She said, my mom and dad were getting a divorce, and I knew that while I had their support, their eyes would not be on me. Paths went a number of different ways. We couldn't get married. I didn't want to have an abortion. I knew I was too young to raise you myself. And so for the second trimester, she moved from Louisville, Kentucky to Woodland Hills, California. Some of us know that place. She spent her second trimester here, and then she went home to Louisville. and moved into the Salvation Army home for unwed mothers, where after her first Lamaze class, she went into labor a month early. Sorry, Mom. She had one day, the second day of my life, to hold me. Then she went off for a month, and I stayed with a foster family, and at the 1 month period, she came back and had one more day with me. She said, "I thought maybe that was the last time I would ever see you." And she said, "It was also that day that I realized you were a person, and you were separate from me, and you were going to go off and have your own life, and that I was most likely not going to be part of it. And from then on, I left that place, and no matter where I went, every baby was you. I wanted to hold every baby and see if it was you. At the movies, at the mall, at a restaurant, they were all you." And when I was 22 and we met, one of the things that she told me was, because I was saying to her, "I grew up loving you. I grew up knowing what a generous choice you had made. I grew up knowing the sacrifice that you had made for me." And she said, I can't tell you what a relief that is. Because every year on your birthday, it was the saddest year of my life because I worried that somewhere in the world, my son was hating me for abandoning him. To heal that wound alone has been such an amazing, gorgeous, gorgeous gift. And again, it makes me think of the stillness of Mary, the ponderousness of Mary. What if not the ability to ponder sets us apart from other creatures? And ponder doesn't raise for me worry or dread. I don't think, and boy, did Mary have a right to be worried from the beginning, an angel appearing to her and saying, "You're going to have God's child." Can you imagine if we tried to portray that in a movie today? We couldn't do it without making it slapstick. Yet, and then the events of the Christmas night. And then we later hear in Luke again, when Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple for the Passover feast. And they leave, assuming that Jesus is part of the caravan going home with them, only to discover that he's not there. And so they return to the temple, and Jesus is there among the other rabbis, asking them questions. And the rabbis say, "He's kind of a cool kid here. Got some great questions." Mary and Joseph, their feathers are ruffled, and they kind of scold Jesus, and Jesus kind of scolds them back. And they finally get their act together, and everybody goes home. And again, we hear in Luke, Mary pondered these things in her heart. I love the author, Luke, because he really entrusts women with the theology, with the heavy lifting of the theology of so many of his stories. And so there must be something here. This is not just a phrase thrown in. I think he's probably building some credibility for Mary. She tells much of the story of Christ's birth. And so I think the author of the Gospel of Luke is building some credibility there. And I think that the author is also pointing to Mary's trust in God. Mary doesn't flee. She doesn't try to avoid the story that is unfolding. She is a very centered character. She ponders these things in her heart. There seems to be a meditative quality about her, and I suspect perhaps a trust. I can only imagine what she thinks is going on in this very crazy world of hers. There must be a trust in God, that God is unfolding the divine self inside of her, not pulling the strings, not directing the actions of the world, but that God's transforming power is unfolding in her. She sits with it and ponders it. One of my fellow Kentuckians, the amazing poet and activist Wendell Berry, wrote a poem called 30 More Years. "When I was a young man, grown up at last, how large I seemed to myself. I was a tree, tall already, and what I had not yet reached, I would grow to reach. Now, 30 more years added on, I have reached much I did not expect, in a direction unexpected. I am growing downward, smaller, one among the grasses." Mary, perhaps, was one among the grasses. I found another UCC pastor on the internet commenting on this Wendell Berry poem and talking about how, at least in the past, it was often that boys were born perhaps growing outward. And then when they reached maturity, they began with a certain sophistication to understand the importance of growing inward. That girls oftentimes, at least in the past, perhaps still now, were born perhaps feeling like the future was a little limited for them. And so they initially grew inward until they developed the strength to look out and realize, no, I can grow that way as well. Hopefully, all avenues are open to boys and girls now, but I think that growing inward is something happening for me. It sure is as part of my exploration and the development of my relationship with my mother as an adult, my relationship with this church. I'm realizing that growth is not so much one rung of a ladder after the next, but a path of concentric circles, hopefully mostly leading outward. Sometimes we reverse directions for a bit, we turn in. We gain strength, wisdom, we recover, and the path begins to move outward again. Who are we tonight? This quiet night of joy. This night when the story calls to us. We've had such amazing preaching in the month of December. And if you haven't been here to hear it, you can get it on iTunes. And we don't even take up an offering there. But what we've seen is the story unfolding from Pastor Rick. And I think that in part Mary's ponderousness is an example for how each of us, this night and always, can allow the stories of Jesus, his ministry, his messages about peace through justice. We can allow those stories in a ponderous way to sink into who we are. We can meditate on them, we can read them, we can reflect upon them individually and in community. And what we know as a church is that those stories will change us. That is how they live in us. That is how God's love grows in us in this ponderousness of ours. I'm always fascinated when I hear a parent or an adult scolding a child with the phrase, "Who do you think you are?" I kind of think, she thinks she is exactly who she is. That's why she is who she is. What kind of a question is that? Who do you think you are? Like, what kind of an existential genius would you have to be to answer that question? But tonight, maybe we'll ask it of ourselves. As the Christmas lights are lit, as the candles maybe dwindle down, we'll take a moment to ask ourselves, who do we think we are? Who do the stories tell us we are? What was it that Mary was pondering in her heart? What trust in God can grow in ours? Perhaps tonight it is time for life to be born. Perhaps we are all expecting. If not tonight, then when? If not us, then who? Amen.